Well, just put your hands out in front of you, if you don't mind. And we do this for our kids every Sunday. Whenever I'm doing it anyway, I say, put your hands out in front of you. And you can make your hands as small or as big as you want, but just prepare to catch something from heaven. You can catch something big or little. Sometimes little presents are the best ones, as you know. But sometimes the big ones are the best ones. So you get to choose what size you want to receive. But Father, we just thank you that you're right here this morning. God, we thank you that you are not far from any of us, God. You're in fact closer than the air we breathe. God, that separation is an illusion. And that you are right here. And so we just acknowledge your presence, God. And we thank you, God, that you know our heart is, God, we want to be your friend. But your heart, even a billion times more than that, is you want to be our friend. And God, we can truly only love you because you first loved us. And so, God, we thank you for your love. And God, we thank you that you're good. We thank you that you didn't have to be good. But you are good, and we're thankful for that. We weren't entitled to a good God. But we are so thankful to have a good God. We are so thankful that you are good in our lives. And we just put our attention on your goodness right now. And we invite you to come and manifest your goodness in this room. Just like Moses prayed, God, show us your glory. Show us your glory. Show each person your glory this morning. And God, we ask for something special from you today. Amen. And I think this dream is for many people, and it also includes you. And I think it will be more for some of you than others of you, but it will also be for all of you. Okay? And so I had this dream. Do you guys know Todd White? Does anyone not know who Todd White is? Okay, so a few of you don't know who Todd White is. Todd White is this guy who used to be a heroin addict, and he has long dreads. And if you just YouTube Todd White after this, you'll see who he is. He's like a street evangelist guy. And he goes around, and I've hung out with Todd a few times, and he just literally his wife stopped going to the supermarket with him, stopped going shopping with him, because she said shopping should take about half an hour, but with Todd it takes about 3 hours, because every person he stops, and he just has words of knowledge for them, they get healed, he prophesies over them, they start crying or start just encountering Jesus, and then they get saved. And it's just like everywhere he goes, he's just carrying this real authentic, pure gift of evangelism. And now he's going around and just equipping the body of Christ in evangelism. And so his life speaks of evangelism. He has his ministry, his website thing is called Lifestyle Christianity. He has this dream of seeing Christians live a normal Christian lifestyle, not just on Sundays, but every single day, just seeing the kingdom of God flow through their lives in powerful love. And so Todd White is kind of a person who represents that. Anyway, I had this dream last night. And in the dream, I was driving my car, and it was down our country road on the way to my favorite beach. And I'm driving down the road, and I'm actually not on the way to the beach. I'm on my way to one of our church services, a Bethel, New Zealand church service. I'm going to a church service. It feels like I'm a little bit late. And I see this guy hitchhiking with dreads on the side of the road. And I look back, and I'm like, no way. Todd White is hitchhiking. And it was like, What is Todd White doing hitchhiking on the back roads of Whangarei on a Sunday morning looking lost? And I'm thinking, I'm going to turn around and pick up Todd White. And so I turned around, I'm like, Todd. And he was like, hey. And so then all of a sudden, some of our friends who we lead the church with, Andy and Dinah, and my wife was there, and we were all there together, and Todd, there was a, you know how crazy dreams are. There was a table on the side of the road that just appeared. Which, imagine if that happened in real life. If you just pick up a hitchhiker and then, you know, you're on this country road and then the table just goes, whoop, and then your friends just appear and then everyone's there on the side of the road. And so I was there on the side of the road and I felt this tension of like, I'm late for church. I've got to go to church. And Andy and Dee and Renee were like, yeah, we've got to go to church. And I was like, no. I've got to go with Todd. There's something about honoring Todd, and Todd's on this adventure. He's on this, It's like he doesn't really know where he's going, but he's needing a ride. Like he's needing a ride, and he's needing to go and do what he's doing, and it's not primarily within a Sunday church service, even though Todd personally always speaks in Sunday church services all the time. And I woke up from that, and I thought, well, that was cool. I kind of met Todd White on the side of my road in my dream and had a little picnic before church with Andy and Dinah and me, Renee, and Todd. And then I woke up. And so I've been sort of pondering that on my drive down here, and I feel like it means a few things. It means a few things to me. It also, I feel like it means a few things to the body of Christ, and I feel like it means a few things to you. And what I feel like is that God is wanting to reestablish the gift of evangelism in the Church of New Zealand. He's wanting to make room for the gift of evangelism in the Church of New Zealand. And that I'm a church leader, and it was my job to stop, not just pass it by, not just pass the moment by, but to stop and pick up the spirit of evangelism. And then to not be in a rush to carry on with the program, but to actually make room for evangelism. To actually make room for the gift of evangelism in the church and also from the church. And I feel like God wants to mark and strengthen people who feel a call towards evangelism this morning. And if you don't feel a call toward evangelism this morning, I feel like God wants to stir up a spirit of evangelism on the inside of you this morning. There are some people who are called as evangelists, like Todd White. And the role of an evangelist is to equip the body of Christ for the works of evangelism. But the evangelist is not the only one called to evangelism. Every single person that's called a son or daughter of God is called to evangelism. Is called to reach out and to be light in the midst of darkness. And you will all have different ways of doing that. You don't all have to be like Benny Hinn or like Todd White or like another evangelist that you might know. You don't need to be the guy standing on the street corner preaching and have to have that level of boldness and courage. It doesn't need to look a particular way. It just needs to look your way. It just needs to fit in with who you are. And it needs to look like you being you, but reaching out. And loving other people. And I just believe God wants to stir up a spirit of evangelism and mark that with powerful love. And so I want to share something that's on my heart that I think will help with that. And I love evangelism. I love evangelism. And in fact, I went on a holiday to Fiji, which is something else I recommend doing, is going on holidays to Fiji. It's an awesome place to have a holiday. But I went to Fiji, and I just got back like a week ago, and people tell us all the time, you guys should probably slow down. And you guys do too much. You guys should slow down. You guys are like walking at a pace you can't maintain. Like people, we get that all the time. And thanks for all that. But we did get to a point where we were like, man, we seriously need a little bit of a holiday. We just need to chill out. I need to take my family away to somewhere warm, which I did. I just want to point out that while I was in Fiji, I think it was the coldest snap of winter, which I hope you guys enjoyed that. I was away, which I was stoked on. And so we managed to avoid that cold snap, and we were in Fiji for 13 days, and God just blessed us with a trip. And it was a twofold trip. The first purpose of the trip was to rest. And so we just went to rest. We went to spend time with the family. I have three beautiful daughters. They came, and my wife, and we just hung out. We went to this resort, just hang out at this resort. The second thing we were going to do is I thought, we have this heart, and we're going to begin to take, I'm going to begin to take my kids and my wife, and we're going to begin to do family missions in nations as a family. And so often it's just me that goes, but we're beginning to plan towards taking the family on some more trips. And not just church ministry trips, but into villages and into crazy wild places to see the Spirit of God break out and to see people encounter the love of God. And so I thought, well, Fiji could be a real cool place to start with, like, you know, there's this resort with a pool here that we can run to for refuge. But then just all around that, there's like these villages, and we can just take the kids in, and they don't have to you know, live in a village for a week, but we can go in and out of the village, and it could be a nice little entry-level experience in missions work for the kids, and like a little prepare for next year trip. And so that was the second thing. So we got to Fiji, and when we got there, I just said to Renee, man, honestly, I think I'm just going to put that village thing on the back burner, and I've just been doing this every day forever. I just need a break and just sit by the pool. So we were like, yeah, let's just sit by the pool. Let's just put down the back burner. Let's just focus on the family. Let's just relax and enjoy each other and just have a restful time. And that's a good thing to do, by the way. And so we were doing that. And then my daughter said, oh, Dad, all the other kids have got their hair braided, which is apparently something you do in Fiji. So can I get my hair braided? And then my other daughter was like, can I get my hair braided too? And so we're like, okay, let's get the hair braided. And then we found out that in the village just next door, it was like half the price of the resort. So we went to the village next door and they got their hair braided. And as they were getting their hair braided, I was just thinking, oh, it's just nice to be here. It's a bit of a different environment, you know, in the place called the Pink Hut. We're in the Pink Hut. If you ever go to Fiji, look for the Pink Hut. So we're in the Pink Hut and I'm thinking, I'm trying to avoid anything happening too much because I want to sneak back into the resort and continue resting. And I just get this thought, someone with pain in their knee. So I said, just a thought, does anyone get pain in their knee? And this lady who's braiding the hair said, yeah, I haven't been able to bend my knee past there for like years. And when I sit down cross-legged on the ground, my one leg crosses and one leg sticks out straight. And it's a real pain because we always sit down like that and I just always have to put my leg straight and I just can't use my knee properly. And so I said, well, let's pray. So me and my daughter, which is the coolest thing. It's cool that God comes on holidays with us and it's also cool that God moves through kids. And so my daughter laid hands on her knee and her knee gets instantly healed. She starts crossing her legs, sitting down. She's like freaking out that her knee's healed. And then this other lady's like, I've had 20-something years of this problem, which I can't go into the details of the problem, unfortunately, but it was a significant problem. And she gets instantly completely healed. And then I'm like, okay, we're going to get out of here before this starts going NATO. And so we're like, okay, let's go. So I left, but then the word got out. And so we're walking back past that village thing. And I get this, hey, can you come to this house? And this house, the chief of the village wants to meet you and da-da-da-da-da. So I take the family. We give it like 3 days or whatever. Then we go back. I'm like, okay, let's go back to the village. So we go back and we start going from house to house. And they've taken us from family to family. And my kids are praying for these people. And these people are just getting healed. There was one person with 17 years of foot pain, basketball player, couldn't use her foot. And she gets completely healed. There was all these other miracles that happened. One guy who became my surf guide, because I like surfing, he was taking me surfing. And he said, when you came, the day before you came, God came on me in the night. And I've been getting drunk. I've been on drugs. I've been a really bad husband, bad father. But God just came on me, and I've just made a decision. I've got to change everything about my life, and I'm just feeling the presence of God. My dad was a preacher, and can you pray for me? So we just pray for him. He gets blasted in the presence. And it just turned into this amazing time just in this village completely by accident. In fact, I was trying to avoid that happening. But it's amazing, even when you're not trying to do it, and even beyond that, when you're trying to not do it, it's amazing how God still is with you everywhere you go. Even when you try and hide him away in a box, he has a way of busting out of the box. He has a way of breaking through the cracks. He has a way of getting out. And I just feel like that's the sort of thing that God wants to do through your lives. He wants to just like not put any pressure on you to have to work anything up, but just as you rest and as you learn to rest with one another and rest in him, that in that place of rest, God is going to break out through your lives. And there have been many people that have strived after evangelism, that have tried with all their might to see miracles happen, that have tried with all their might to move in the word of knowledge and to have prophetic words and to see people get saved and to have revival. And they've spent days on end in prayer meetings, striving, crying out, just with all their might to go after this thing that has been on their heart. And many people have lost hope and seen the fruit of what they've been hungry for. And the truth is, I believe that as we just surrender and give up and lean back and rest back, and we learn to rest, then we'll see the things that for years we strive for but could never see in our striving. And so there's a resting place. There's a resting place. There's a place of rest. We're also in Fiji. We went for this car ride. I'm just telling you a few of the stories just from... I just want to share some recent stories. So we're in the car and we hired this little car. If you go to Fiji, I recommend hiring a car, because I thought I'll just stay in the resort, but I ended up just, you just got to get out and see stuff. And so we hired this car and we thought we'll go into the inland of Fiji and see if we can do some jungle adventure. So we can maybe find a snake or do something cool, like find a waterfall or some kind of water hole and just explore the jungle. And the kids were like, yeah, we get to explore the jungle. So they jumped in the car and we went for a drive. And I thought, you know, we'll just go down an inland road and we'll just drive. And then you realize, I don't know if you guys have been to Fiji, but it's my first time to Fiji, and it's just one road around the whole island, and there's really hardly any roads inland. So I'm like, God, please, can there just be one road inland? And so there was one road, and we were like, whoop, turned in that road, went just this gravel, crazy, wild road, which is just the perfect roads. I love those kind of roads. And then we ended up just driving to, we saw the sign for a waterfall, so we're like, let's try and find that waterfall. And we got to this part of the road, and we started driving through this village, and this guy ran out and was like, hey, bula, bula, bula. And then he's like, over there, over there. And so we're like, okay. And he's telling us to pull into his house. So we pull into his house, which is kind of, you're driving down a road, and then someone runs out and says, pull into my house. I think maybe it's normal in Fiji, but it's not normal in Whangarei, at least. And so I pull into the guy's house, and then he comes out, and he's like, hey, well, welcome to the village, bula, bula. We want to get you, you know, and he starts getting the kids out. Hey, come out and come in. And they do this carver ceremony. They have all the elders come, and they do this carver ceremony. And like, I'm like, hey, cool, this is awesome. Like, we're sitting in the shed, and there's these elders there, and they're all doing the carver thing. And I'm like, you know, doing the clap and the bula and all that stuff. And it was awesome. I was loving it. I was just absolutely loving it. And then at the end of it, they're like, our primary concern is for your safety. And this is our village waterfall. And I was like, oh, it's your village waterfall. Okay, cool. So they were telling us all about the waterfall and about their village and about this part of the land that they own that's their land. I'm thinking, man, I'm in their land. We're going to explore their waterfall. Just want to honor the protocol, have the carver, do all the stuff that you're meant to do. And then God said, someone there with pain in the back. So I just said, has anyone got pain in their back? And they're like, they're looking at me. And I said, I'm just a Christian. I believe in miracles and who has pain in the back. And he's like, this guy's like, yeah, I've got pain in my back. This guy gets healed. Another guy gets healed. Then miracles just start breaking out amongst the elders. And then they're like, we're going to send people up to the waterfall. We want you to break the curse off the land because there's been this curse placed on the land. And they come up and they start. So it just blew up in this village completely by accident again. And then we get back and they're like, please come to our house. And there's this person to pray for and this person to pray for. And my kids started going crazy because it was like 6 o'clock at night, past dinner time. The kids are like climbing up their bookshelves, jumping off their bookshelves. Like they're just going crazy because they've been in the village for hours now because we've been invited to so many houses and prayed for so many people. And there's only so much that kids can do, you know. There's only the attention span only goes so far, even with crazy miracles happening. And so I had to say in the end, listen guys, we're gonna have to go. We're gonna have to go because my kids need to go eat dinner. And they're like, but there's more people to pray for. Well, you guys will have to pray for them. We have to go now. So if you guys go to Fiji, you could go, I'll tell you where that is, and you guys can go and carry on that job. That was on the main island, on the Coral Coast. We're the one where Nadi is. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, so it's just so fun. I just love to see God break out. I love it that even when you're trying for it to not happen, it still happens. And I love it that God goes with you everywhere you go. Even if you're feeling tired and you feel like, I just need a holiday, God still comes on a holiday with you. God wants to rest with you. He wants to be in when you're in a real busy season and you're just going hard after something. He wants to be in that with you. But I just believe that there's a place of rest that we can live in and that you don't need to go on holiday to find that rest. That rest is for your busy seasons and your holiday seasons. It's a place of rest that you can live in. And here's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4. And this is such a good chapter, and there's so much in it, so I'm just going to pull out a few things. It starts off in verse 1. It says, therefore, and the therefore is therefore what was said in chapter 3, which you can read in your own time. But therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. In other words, be real careful that you learn how to steward this rest. Be real careful that no one steals this rest from you. Be real careful that you position your life in this rest to live from this rest. This is something that is kind of not optional if you want to live the life that God's called you to live. Finding this resting place and having this resting place find you is a crucial thing. So it begins with that verse, and then it carries on a whole bunch of really awesome stuff. And then we're going to pick it up again in verse 9. And I know I'm butchering this a little bit because I just don't have time to go through the whole chapter. But like I said, the whole chapter is awesome. Verse 9 says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. To enter that rest. Lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience, which is the children of Israel walking through the wilderness and not having that resting place. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of the... This is one of those parts of my Bible that is unreadable. him to whom we must give account. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens or has channeled open a way through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet was without sin. Now listen to this next part. This is amazing. It says this. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. It says previously, just before, it says, let us come to this resting place. And then in the last verse, it starts to describe the resting place, and this is it. Therefore, let us come boldly, and it doesn't say resting place, it says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. That this resting place is the throne of grace. And there is this invitation to live, to come boldly before the throne of grace. And I don't think just come boldly, but also live boldly from that place. That we don't have to try and reach that place because we've already been invited. We have a high priest who has channeled a way open in the Spirit, who has pierced open a way in the heavens for us to have continual access to this place that's called the throne of grace. To receive grace and mercy in our time of need. And how many know our time of need is any time, any day? Like, I don't know if any of you have ever experienced suffocation or been stuck underwater and not been able to breathe, but I love diving and I noticed that I have a need of oxygen. And oxygen comes from the Lord. The life that's in oxygen is from Him. I can only live and move and have my being because I'm in Him. And I realized diving, when the oxygen runs out, just how much I am actually in need of Him. Every moment, every day, I have a need for the presence of God, and so do you. And there's this resting place that we've been invited to live in, and it's the throne of grace. We've been called to live from grace. We've been called to live from His throne. We've been called to live from heaven to earth, not from earth to heaven. And it's this beautiful thing. And I think if we now turn to Psalm 24... You can turn to Psalm 24, and then we're also going to go to Genesis 28, which is probably what I speak on every time I go anywhere. But it just never gets old to me. So, but Psalm 24 says, It's talking about something that David refers to as the generation of Jacob. The generation of Jacob, those who seek God's face. This generation of Jacob. And then it says to the generation, David says to the generation of Jacob, which is you and I, a future generation, which is our generation right now on earth. And he says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, that the King of glory might come in. And he calls this generation that he refers to as the generation of Jacob, he refers to them as gates or as doors. And there's this thing that happens, and he says, when you lift up your head, in other words, when you take your head from just looking at your own two feet to looking at reality from God's perspective, to looking up towards heaven's perspective. When you lift up your head, and whatever that might mean, which I'm going to go into in a second, when you lift up your head, something happens when you lift up your head, is the gate of who you are, the door of your heart opens up, and glory starts coming through. And the glory that's in heaven starts coming through you and starts filling the earth. And that's what happened for me in Fiji. I was getting my girl's hair braided, and just for one split second, I just looked up, just in that place of rest. And when I looked up, I realized I'm in a throne of grace right now. I'm in a throne of mercy. I have come boldly before the throne of grace. Jesus has made a place for me before the Father. And here I am, a little boy with a big papa. And I heard him say, someone with a sore knee, as I had my head lifted up. And I said, who has pain in their knee? And as I said that, the glory of God just, whew, and touched the person's knee. They said they felt electricity go shoo, down their knee. They got complete, and you know the rest of the story. And it's just in this resting place of lifting up your head, and as you lift up your head, the King of glory comes in. David's referring to the generation of Jacob, and he's literally referring to a generation that would reflect corporately what was true of Jacob as an individual. That there was something prophetic, David's saying that there's something prophetic about this individual called Jacob, that he was like a prototype for what, an individual prototype for what would be true of an entire generation of people that would be named after him. And so if you read Psalm 24 and then you go back to Genesis 28, you see the direct links between Psalm 24 and Genesis 28. In fact, when he's writing Psalm 24, he's referring to Genesis 28. And so this is Genesis 28. Because the question is, how do I lift my head up? And what does it mean to lift my head up? And what does it mean? How do I actually live a life of a head lifted up so that the King of glory can continually flow through my life? How do I position myself with my head lifted up? How do I position myself in this place of rest? What does it all look like? What does it all mean? What is this resting place? Because if you can find the resting place, everything's easy. I think the reason people don't see miracles, signs, and wonders on a regular basis is because many people believe the lie that it's hard work. And it's just way easier than you think it is. It's just way easier than you think it is. My one-year-old can do it. Listen to this in Genesis 28. It says, it's a story of Jacob. Jacob goes to, and I've probably shared this here before, or something from this verse before. Like I said, I think I share from this probably at least 50% of the times that I've ever preached in my life. But it's just such a good chapter. It's about Jacob. He's come to a place called Luz. He's on a journey, and he's tired, just like I was. Just like I was. He needs a holiday in Fiji, but he's not in Fiji. He's in Luz. And so he finds his way to Luz, and he's tired, and he thinks, I'm going to get a rock. I'm going to put it down. And he's about to lift up his head. But for Jacob, lifting up his head looked like laying his head down. And he got his head and he put his head, representative of the head of an entire generation, representative of the consciousness of an entire generation. And if that's too new age for you, representative of the mindset of an entire generation going to be on earth in the future, that will be named after his name according to David, which is you and I. And on behalf of our generation, on behalf of you and I, he didn't realize he was doing this at the time, but on behalf of you and I, he took his head and he rested it on a rock. He rested it on a stone in order to go to sleep, which seems like the most unusual thing to do if you want to go to sleep. Like the most unusual thing to do is, the first thing I would think of is some leaves or my jacket, or just the elbow is fine for a pillow. Except a rock, a stone, that's just the most unlikely thing to use for a pillow, especially if you want to go to sleep with it. And so he gets the stone, he puts it down, he puts his rests his head on it, and it's sometimes true that sometimes the way we rest doesn't always fully make sense. Sometimes this resting place doesn't make sense. Just like a stone doesn't make sense to rest your head on if you want to go to sleep. Sometimes the resting place, sometimes this lifestyle of resting in the presence of God doesn't make sense, and it goes beyond your ability to reason and ration. And it is something that you just literally need to trust God in. And so he picks his stone up, puts it down, puts his head on it, and the Bible says that heaven. He had a dream, and in the dream, heaven opened up, and a ladder was set up between heaven and earth, which in Hebrews 4, it says that this great high priest has passed through the heavens, has channeled, bore open a way through the heavens, which is that ladder. Jesus is the ladder. Jesus is Jacob's ladder. He is our access between heaven and earth. And so there's this ladder that's set up. The angels of God are ascending and descending on the ladder. And he has this crazy encounter with God, and God speaks a bunch of stuff to him. But he wakes up in the morning and he says this statement. He says, "Surely God was in this place and I knew it not." In other words, God was in this place. God was right here with me in this place, but I didn't know it. And if you don't know that God's with you, you can be forgiven for believing the illusion of separation, the lie that God's at a distance. But the truth is, God's never at a distance. He's never far away, and there's never any separation between you and him. But if you don't know he's with you, it's easy to believe that lie, and the enemy will try and reinforce that lie again and again and again in your life. Because he's very afraid of you understanding and realizing and coming to a conclusion and to the conviction that God is with you in every step and in every breath. So Jacob rests his head on a stone. It's interesting to note that heaven opened up for Jacob when his head was resting on the stone. It's Psalm 24. If you lift up your head, heaven opens and the King of Glory comes in. It's Hebrews 5, if you find this resting place and you stay in this resting place, then you'll realize there's a throne of grace to live from. There's an eternal supply of God's resource that's available to you in every circumstance that wasn't available to you when you weren't in the resting place. It's available to you from rest. And so it's important to note that Jacob lay down his head, representative of an entire generation that would follow, that's you and I, who are learning this truth, who are learning to live with the mindset that Jacob demonstrated in this prophetic act that he didn't know he was doing. The name stone in Hebrew is, the word stone in Hebrew is aben, which is a compound Hebrew word made up of two Hebrew words, ben and abba, or abba and ben. Abba is father, and Ben is son. And it's this prophetic picture of a father walking with a son and a son walking with a father. It's this prophetic picture of God is your dad and you are God's child. And God as your dad has chosen to never be separate from you. And you will always be with him. You and him are one, according to John 17. You and him, you and God are one, unified. He promised he would never leave you nor forsake you. He's walking with you every day from this day for all of eternity. And as Jacob rested his head on that stone, as Jacob rested his head on that rock, which incidentally, you know, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of, and I'll give the, how does it go? I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven and the gates of Hades shall not prevail. What is that key? If you read Matthew 16, you see the key. The key, it's the whole entire church is built on this revelation of Abin. The whole entire church is meant to be built on this stone. How did Peter even get that? How did he even set himself up to receive those keys? How did that even happen? It was this. Who do men say that I am? Some say this, some say that. Who do you say that I am, though? Well, you're the Son of the living God. And then he says, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. What is that? That he got caught up in Abin. Peter just got caught up. He just got mashed up in Jesus' resting on the stone that is a father with a son and a son with a father. How do I know that? Because Peter's like, oh my gosh, when I saw you, something about seeing you caused me to see the Father. And when I saw the Father, I saw you. And when I see you, I see the Father. But then when I see the Father, I see you. But then when I see you, it points straight back to the Father. And when I see the Father, he's pointing straight back to you. He's caught up in this oven dance. Abundance. This is the key to abundance. It's the abundance. It's the abundance. And he's when you're with the Son, you're with the Father. And when you're with the Father, you're with the Son, because the Son is never separate from the Father and the Father is never separate from the Son. And Jesus is bringing many sons to glory, and he's the firstborn amongst many brothers and sisters, which means that you're wearing the same shoes that Jesus wore. Not literally, but your life and your lifestyle is called to be the same in quality as Jesus' life was in quality. You're a son of God. You're a child of God, the same as Jesus is a child of God. And if it's true for Jesus, it's true for you. Which means that you are living, walking ovens. And you've been called to live a life of abundance. And that when people are with you, they're actually in the presence of the Father. Because everywhere you go, your Father goes with you. And this is the resting place, guys. This is the resting place. And this is how I can define it in kid language, which is the language that we should all learn to use from time to time. This is how I've described it to my kids, is that I'm a little boy with a big papa everywhere I go. And I can't get away from that phrase. I can't get away from talking about this thing. I can't get away from talking about this, because to me, it's just, if we can't get this, nothing else makes sense. This is the bedrock of Christianity. This is the bedrock of our Christian lives. This is the bedrock of what it means to live a life, a Christian life, to live a life as a son or daughter of God, is that is a choice to believe and to learn to trust in this truth. That everywhere I go, my papa goes with me. That my God has refused to be separate from me. And it's not because of anything I've done to deserve that attention. It's because he desires to be with me, because he's my dad. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. I've probably done everything to earn my way out of it. But God has made up his mind since before the foundation of the earth. Since before time even began. Knowing that we were going to mess up completely. That those who choose to turn to me will see a God who is so in love and has never turned his back. Here's the truth. God is with you. And here's another truth. God knows he's with you. Here's the truth as well. You are with God. Here's something to consider. Do you know you're with God? God is with you and he knows he's with you. God was with me in Fiji and he knew he was with me in Fiji. He was with me when I was driving down here this morning, and he knew he was with me when I was driving down here this morning. When I was in Fiji and God was with me and he knew he was with me, I was also with him. And for one moment, just in that shop, I came into a knowing that I was with him. And as my knowing that I was with him met his knowing that he was with me, boosh, the glory popped out. And just a confession from me to you, there are many, 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 many moments in my life where I either forget or lose sight because of external pressures of the fact that I am with God. There are many moments in my life where I've been distracted from his presence. I can probably tell you 100 from last week. I could tell you miracle stories from last week. I could tell you about the guy who had a surgery on his eye last week and had no vision in his eye. The operation went wrong. And I could tell you about laying hands on him last week and his eye cleared up and it was all good again. Isn't that amazing? But I could give you all the highlight reels, but I could also, if I wanted to, which I won't, but I could give you a whole lot of different low-light reels too. Moments where I had lost sight of the fact that God was with me. But my goal, my heart as a son of God is, hey, if I'm in a low-light place and I have some moments where I've forgotten about the presence of God, where my attention has been on other things, there's so much mercy and so much grace. There's so much room to be on the journey. There's so much room just to work it out, work out this thing called salvation step by step. There's so much room to be on a journey towards understanding this resting place and living from this throne of grace. There's so much freedom for you and I just to be on a journey and to have no pressure to have made it yet. There's so much freedom for us. But I have these low light moments and then I have these highlight moments, and I stand in these highlight moments and I stand in moments like this where I'm kind of between the two and I'm thinking, man, amazing things, not so amazing things here, but really amazing things here. And I think, God, I'm so inspired to say, God, just help me to live from this resting place full time. Like, help me to never be moved out of this place. Help me to consistently and in every moment be conscious of your presence. Help me to, in the real pressurized moments when everyone's driving real slow, help me just to live overwhelmed in your presence. When I'm doing something that's mundane, like the most mundane thing I can think of is probably doing the dishes. When I'm doing the dishes, my personal most mundane task, when I'm doing the dishes, help me to be overwhelmed with your presence, God. And by overwhelmed, I don't mean flopping on the floor, maybe, but I just mean simply aware. Simply, I can just rest back. I can just do these dishes and I can just rest back and I can just know. I might not feel it every time, but I can just know that my papa is with me while I'm doing these dishes. And I don't know what it looks like for the glory of God to spill out on dishes, but I think it'll be fun to watch. It'll be really cool to have God do the dishes. I notice that when I'm living like that, even when there's no miracles to be done, even when there's no prophecies to give, even when there's no, there probably are angels to be seen, but ones that I'm not seeing, even when there's no kind of like tasks to do, I notice when I'm living in this place of rest, when I'm living in this place of an awareness of God's presence, of a trust that, wow, you're just here. It's like everything I look at becomes a billion times more beautiful. It's like the flowers, you could stare at one flower for a million years and not grow, not get, it doesn't get old, because it's like this, it's just like God just starts to unveil everything around you and everything becomes amazing. And this joy and this celebration of life that erupts on the inside of you when you're in that place, it's this thing of living in the glory, and we've been invited to live in the glory. And living in the glory begins with simple trust. And there'll be moments in your week this week coming up after hearing this message, there'll be moments in your week where stuff will happen and it will try and take your head and pull it back down again. Or try and take your head from up to the side again. Or try and take that stone and just whip it out from under your head. There'll be moments this week where that will happen. And it's in those moments, it's because of those moments that I'm sharing this message. Because my encouragement to you is that when that happens, not if it happens, but when that happens, like catch that moment and pull your head back up again. Catch that moment and don't let anyone steal your rest. Don't let anyone fool you. You know, Paul said to the Galatians, who has bewitched you? Don't let anyone bewitch you. Don't let anyone steal the simplicity of the gospel from you. Don't let any circumstance teach you anything other than the fact that God is present with you. There's plenty of circumstances that could teach you that God's absent. But it's simply just not true. It's simply just not true. And the more we learn to trust in the presence of God, the less of those circumstances happen around our lives. That God is with you, and God is with me. God is with us. This is the gospel, by the way. That God has chosen me and He's chosen you. He was looking for a house, and he was like, man, I'm just looking for this house. I'm looking for a place. I'm looking for a place to live. I'm looking for a place to dwell. I'm looking for a place to express myself. I'm looking for a place where I can hang my pictures on the walls, where I can put my furniture in, where I can remodel the kitchen exactly how I want it. He's going through the real estate. He's going through Trade Me. He's going through the Harcourt's advertising, the property press. He's going through all those things, and God's looking for a house, and he's thinking, man, I just can't, you know, nothing's quite fitting the mold like this one. I've got all the money in the world. I could buy whatever house I want. I can just make it happen. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. You know? You guys take cattle for payment? You know, he's looking through the property press. He's wondering, where is this place that I dream of? My dream place. And then he sees you. And he's like, that's a spot right there. Chuck the property press away. Get rid of Trade Me. Just wherever you are. I'll just live wherever you want to live. So long as I'm with you, nothing else matters. That's what God's like. So long as I'm with you, I'll live in any house. I'll cope with any kitchen. I'll have any place. I just want to be with you. The gospel's, He's chosen you. He's chosen me. Well, I'm living under a bridge. That's fine. I'm okay under a bridge, so long as you're under the bridge. God's chosen us. And the crazy thing about that is, there's nothing you can do to change His mind. There's nothing you can do to change His mind. There's nothing you can do to persuade God that you're a bad person to live with. There's nothing you can do to persuade God to separate Himself from you. If there was something you could do, it would have been done at the cross. When humanity murdered God. That was about as bad a flatmate. you know, if you're looking for someone to move in with, that's about the worst interview process possible. You know, like, hey, I'm looking at moving in with you guys. All right, whoop, let's hang you on a cross and see if you want to move in with us after that. And then God's still, yep, I'm moving in. There's nothing, guys, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. You can murder me, you can shame me, you can kill me, you can send me to hell, but there's nothing you can do. You will not succeed in separating my love from you. You will not succeed. And there is, because of the cross, there is an assurance that we can actually trust in that God is present. It's because of the cross that we can actually trust that God is present with us. because of the cross. We can trust that God is present with us. It's because of the cross that when you walk into the supermarket this afternoon, God will walk into the supermarket with you. And if you put your attention on that reality, you might just see the glory pop out. So I just want to pray for you. And just close your eyes. And just become aware of the presence of God right now. And when I say become aware of the presence of God right now, I say that without putting any pressure for what that has to look like for you. You might feel His presence, or you may not feel His presence. What I'm asking you to do is just to turn your attention to the reality that He's present. Just give that truth your attention right now. Give that reality your attention right now. And Father, right now I just thank You that there is a big fat oven stone in this room. There is abundance happening in this room right now. God, I thank You that You're putting your hand under our chin and You're lifting our head up just so gently, God. That there is an open heaven in this room right now. There is an open heaven in this room right now because there are many, many children of God in this room right now. And everywhere there's a child of God, there's an open heaven. And every time those children lift up their heads, that reality of that open heaven manifests on earth. And God, I know that there's need in this room. I know that there are people who just need breakthrough in this room. There are people who need miracles in this room. There are people who need situations turned around in this room. There are people who need grace in this room, God. And I just thank You that grace is available right now. And just in this space, I just want you to become aware of the grace that's all around you right now. Whatever you need, it's not far away. Whatever you need, it's closer than the air you're breathing right now. That's just how close it is. The enemy will try and lie to you and try and steal that reality from you and try and push that away, try and project what God has intended for you to have today into tomorrow. But I just declare that those lenses of the enemy break off people's eyes right now, and that you would really have a revelation. God, I invite that spirit of wisdom revelation, that there would be a solid revelation erupt in people's hearts right now of just how near You are, just how close You are. And whatever you need, just start to receive it right now. Whatever you need, just start to receive it right now. Maybe you're asking, how do I receive that? Simple trust. Simply just positioning your heart right now to lean into that in trust. Just positioning your heart towards the Lord and just saying, Papa, I just trust right now that what I need, You are providing for me. Just lean your heart in to that throne of grace and let God fill that up with what you need. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Just as you're sitting there, and as you're receiving, grace right now, I'm just reminded just in this moment of my friend. He had an experience like maybe some of you are having right now. And he was just in his lounge in California, and he found himself in the throne of grace. And God started to show him some of the places in heaven. And he was still fully aware of the couch he was sitting on. It was just a vision he was having in his imagination. And he went to this room that he just was just leaning in and trusting, God was taken into this room, and in the room there was money. It was the money room. And God said to him, you could take some money if you want some money. And he took $40,000 out of the money room. And then he opened his eyes and looked on the ground next to the couch, and there was no money bags. And he said, God, I took $40,000 from heaven. I reached in and received something that I need, but where is it on earth? I've received it in heaven, but where is it on earth? And God said to him, take four $10 notes, write some extra zeros on the end, and just go and give them away as a seed. So he gave them away as a seed. And then a month later, a person that he hadn't spoken to for 40-something years, his dad's friend, who he had met maybe three or four times, rang him up and said, I had a strange feeling. I had something strange happen to me, and I don't really know why I'm doing this, but I'm meant to give you $40,000. Not a Christian. So I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm meant to give you $40,000. How can I give you this money? And he received the $40,000. That you're receiving it in heaven right now. There's something that you're receiving in heaven right now, but the way it manifests on earth can look different for each of us. Some of you might receive it right now. Others of you might receive it more along the lines of how my friend received that $40,000. But God, we just thank you that you are here and available to us. You are here and available to us. We can live oblivious to that, or we can live aware of that. If you feel like you've been living partially oblivious to that, what I mean by that is partially unaware of that reality, but you're saying, Matt, I want to be overwhelmed by God's presence. I want to live aware of this truth. I want grace to actually be able to trust this. I want grace to step into this resting place and to live from rest. If that's you, just stand up right now. Especially if you've been struggling with any kind of anxiety or fear, like an unwarranted fear, and you might be afraid to stand up even. But if that's you, I would like to encourage you with everything in me just to stand up right now. Right now. Just take some deep breaths. What this is going to feel like, I think, what it feels like to me right now, is like a deep peace. That word rest in Hebrews, when you translate the Greek, it literally means the stilling of the winds. And some of you have had like winds that have just been blowing against your lives. And some of those winds are the winds that are trying to distract you from God's presence. Try to put anxiety on you, or fear, or those things that distract you from love and presence. And there's a resting place that stills the winds. It's Jesus on the boat saying, be still. And so just as Jesus spoke to the storm on the boat, I just speak to any storm in this room and I say, be still. Be still. And just see this picture of the Holy Spirit coming over you. I had this experience once, and I was in the bush in Reading, and I felt the Holy Spirit come around. He started circling around me like a tornado. But in the middle of the tornado, there was perfect peace. And then around me was this wild wind, almost protecting that place of peace. And I often encounter the Holy Spirit like that now. And I got home after that encounter, and I walked into our house, and my friend Andy was there, and he looked up at me, and he started freaking out, and he said, there are colorful lights just flashing around you. It's like there's a tornado of light around you, Matt. What's happened? And I said, man, that's amazing that you can see that. It's the Holy Spirit. I just had this encounter and I told him the encounter. And I said, in the middle of it, it just feels like perfect peace. And I feel like there's a wind that blocks out every other wind. The Holy Spirit is the wind of God, the Ruach. He's the wind of God. And I just see the Holy Spirit wanting to just come around people and just swirl around them so that you are in the apple of his eye. You are in the eye of the tornado. And there's a wind that pushes back every other wind. There's a wind that is stronger that resists every other wind. That keeps you in perfect peace. That keeps you in a place of where it's not hard to trust. It's easy to trust. It's easy to see miracles. It's easy to hear his voice. It's easy to prophesy. It's easy to have breakthrough. I just break the lie right now that the kingdom of God is difficult. I thank you that it's easy, God. I just declare easy over this place. I declare that miracles are easy. That life is easy in God. It's not always hard. I declare that the business breakthrough that you need is easy in this place of peace. That the missing ingredient is just this peace right now, just this rest right now. So Holy Spirit, I just ask you to come. I ask you to come and swirl around each person, each one of us. And just in your own way, you can just invite them. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you keep us. Thank you that you protect us. Thank you that you guard our hearts, God. Thank you, God, that you are trustworthy. Thank you, God, that you are able. Thank you, God, that you're good at your job and we don't have to be good at your job. Thank you, God, that you're good at holding our hand. We don't even need to be good at holding your hand. We just need to be half okay at trusting that you're good at holding our hand. So we thank you, Father, that your grip on us is stronger than our grip on you. Your hand on our lives is stronger than our hand on your lives. We need you much more than you need us. And we have you. And we thank you. We thank you, God. We thank you, Papa. Wow. Is anyone here, you having a hard time sleeping? Gee, okay. I just want you to just put your hands on your neck if you can, just on the back of your neck there. If you're having a hard time sleeping. Yeah. I just break that assignment of the enemy of restlessness. I break the spirit of restlessness off right now in Jesus' name. And I declare the spirit of rest over you. God is blessing the rest of your life. He's blessing the rest of your life. And that you will wear the enemy out with your rest. Papa. Oh, thank you, Papa. Wow. there are someone or people here with just a This you might need to be a little bit brave to respond to this, but if I'll give you the opportunity anyway, is I feel like there are also people here, and it's like just this abnormal weight of hopelessness, and like I've tried again and again and again, and it didn't work, and just this hopelessness and it's like verging on just. It feels like hard to have joy for you right now. I know that's a difficult thing to respond to. I wouldn't normally call that out, but is that anyone in the room? Okay, cool. Cool. Awesome. Awesome. Okay, I want you guys just to hold your hands out in front of you. And I see Jesus walking up to you right now. I see Jesus walking up to you right now. And he's got his hands on your wrists right now. And he's breaking the chains off of your wrists. He's breaking the chains off of your hands right now. I declare every chain broken. Every chain broken. And I declare right now, I speak to the spirit of despair right now. And I say, be broken in the name of Jesus. Be broken in the name of Jesus. And I declare incredible joy over you. I declare chain shattering joy over you. I declare so much joy and so much freedom that the feeling of being inside a little box, a dark box. Some of you have even used that as an illustration, I believe, that the feeling, I feel like I've been stuck in a small dark box and I can't get out. Some of you have even used that as an illustration. I've been stuck in a small dark box and I can't get out. That you look to your side and you'll see, you didn't think it was big enough for two in there, but Jesus is in there with you. Jesus is in there with you and he has a cheeky look on his face. He's like, you want to see something? And he just, boosh, just breaks the sides out of the box. And just on the other side of that box, as he breaks down the walls, there is a freedom. There is a freedom. And I declare you were born for freedom. And you are free because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. You are free indeed. I want to declare over you, you're free indeed. You, and I give you permission and freedom to have hope again right now. To have expectation again for good. And I break that thing of foreboding joy where you're excited for stuff, but if it's going well, man, something bad's probably about to happen because it can't go that well for this long. I just break that thing of foreboding joy right now. I break that thing and I say, joy is for life. There's joy for life. I declare joy for life over you. Joy for life. Joy for life. Joy for life. Thank you, Father. Whew. And I declare over your eyes right now that they would no longer notice the half emptiness, but they would just notice the abundance all around. They would notice the abundance all around. That there is abundance all around. There is abundance all around. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Papa. Does anyone here work in a garden shop or in gardening? Like you do landscaping or gardening or something? Do you work in a garden shop or? Ah, perfect. Can I pray for you? Yes. Thank you. Just hold your hand down in front of you. Yeah, what's your name? Nokia. Lokia. Come on, Lokia. Thank you, God. Yeah, God, I just thank you for Lokia. Right, I just thank you for Lokia. Thank you for this amazing daughter of yours. Thank you for this amazing daughter of yours. And I feel like I heard Nokia when you said Lokia. And I feel like there's a Nokia anointing on you. And the slogan for Nokia was, I think it was something like, it was like connecting people, I think was the slogan for Nokia. And I feel like there's a grace and a gift on you for connecting people with people where there's been no communication, to bring in lines of communication that connect people together again. I even feel like in your landscape architecture and some of your landscape designs, you're going to be designing stuff with that in mind for people to connect with one another. And I feel like I feel like some people have looked at what you're doing and they've thought, what's the kingdom point in that? But I feel like God is looking at what you're doing and he says, I see the point in what you're doing. This is beautiful. This is amazing. God has a desire and he's looking at earth. He's looking at people's homes. He's looking at people's space and he's saying, Man, I can't wait for people to have connection in mind when they design things. I can't wait for people to have family in mind when they design things. And I can't wait for people to come along like Lokia, who are designing spaces for people to connect. This is the desire of God, and there's a grace that you have, and it's a monarchy grace, which is a grace to host. It's a grace to host. It's a grace to host. It's a grace to establish a culture of communion. A culture of communion. A culture of communion where people share the union with God with one another together around a table. And Father, I just thank you, Father, for this amazing girl, this amazing daughter, God. And I thank you, God, that there is a grace on her to be a restorer of creation, God, and to be a restorer of community. And so I just bless you right now. Shoo, thank you, Papa. Well, bless you. We have some landscaping needs at our house as well, by the way. Thank you, Papa. If you feel like stirred towards evangelism, if you feel like there's something on the inside of you where, man, I wanna reach out. I'm into inreach, but I'm way more into outreach. I want to reach out. I want to see people that don't know Jesus and don't know the love of God. I have an overwhelming desire. I just want that to happen through my life. And I, especially those of you who have had it in the past, but it's become too hard and you've put it on the shelf. You've put it on the back burner and you've pursued other things. I believe God wants to restore that in your life today, this morning. And so if that's you, I just want you to quickly stand up and just come up the front. Oh, wow. Well, it looks like I came to the right place. Come make a line across the front. Come make a line. Just come right across, guys. Make one line across the front just so that just helps me to logistically know who I've prayed for and who I haven't prayed for. And maybe if there's, can we have some music queued up to play? Thanks, man. I'm going to finish the meeting with this call just because there's a lot of you that have responded to this call. And I'm just going to go down and I'm just going to lay hands on you. And I believe that there's something that God's put in my life. And God's used me in this way for so many years now. And there's something that God's put in my life to spark evangelism in the body of Christ. And I believe that there's something that God's put in my life that I can impart to you. There's something that he's trusted me with that I can impart to you. And so I'm going to impart something to you and pray for you. As I pray for you, I just want you to just receive it. And when I say receive it, it's just to allow your heart to just lean back and just trust that you receive it. Is that cool? I'm going to come down and pray for you. I'm going to officially hand the microphone over now. And I'm going to finish my time on the microphone and say thank you so much for having me. And you guys are amazing. And then we're just going to come and I'm just going to pray for you. And it's going to be awesome.